right. Well, I am here with Congressman Mick Mulvaney. And are you back here in South Carolina?
I am. I'll be here all week.
So are you glad to be home?
Absolutely. The weather is beautiful. The people are much nicer. And I get a chance to travel the district over the course of the week, which is always a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Well, you have, you've been busy. You turned extra money back into to the government from your staff up there.
Yeah, Jeff Duncan and I both did. We were able to run our offices in Washington, D.C., and then back in the district, ours is in Rock Hill, under budget for the year. We'd had set a goal to try and return 10% of our budget. And we did that to try and provide good service, good constituent service, good legislative service, to prove to folks in Washington that you don't have to spend every single penny that you get allocated. We believe, to a certain extent, trying to lead by example. We're asking various federal agencies to spend less money, so I think it was sort of incumbent upon us to prove that you could still do a good job and spend less money. So I was happy to be able to do that. The folks in my office has made it possible. It was a really good year. For them, in terms of what we were able to do for constituents and still to do it under budget was kind of exciting.
Now, one of the things that I understand that you wanted that money to go against the debt. Has that happened?
Now, the way it works out, we didn't realize this till afterwards. You know, congressmen have been telling folks for years and years that they, you know, give this money back to the taxpayer. And the truth of the matter is, once you scratch the surface a little bit, it looks like most of the money doesn't go back to the Treasury. It goes into some, what they call a shared fund, and I really don't know what it is other than to know it doesn't go to the taxpayer. And if that money doesn't get spent after 2 years, then it goes to the taxpayer, but I can assure you that whoever manages that shared fund is probably spending it, so the taxpayer doesn't see the benefit of it, and we're trying to fix that this year.
Well, you know, I was interested when I was reading over some of this stuff. You kind of figure that the government doesn't run like a business?
Government doesn't run like anything. In fact, oftentimes it doesn't run at all. But it's just, it's crazy. And the whole point of giving the money back was to say, look, we know we're asking the FAA to do more with less. We know we're going to ask the FBI to do more with less. And really, cutting 10% from a government budget is not that big a deal. You can do it without any impact in the services that you provide. And you know, again, I think the folks were right to say, you know, if you want us to do it, you need to do it yourself. And so we did. And now we're looking to those federal agencies to do the same thing.
And you also introduced some legislation, Keeping Promises to Taxpayers Act 2012. Tell us a little bit about that.
So that was just a response to one of the president's lines. You know, the president and I disagree from time to time. That's going to happen. But what I really can't stomach is the part where he says one thing and does exactly the other. I can get by with disagreeing with people, but when folks, you know, say one thing and do another, that sort of upsets me. And the president had a very, you know, high profile line when he ran for office saying he would never raise taxes, any taxes, on folks who make less than $250,000 a year. And the truth of the matter is he's done that about 15 times, which is just wrong. I mean, if you want to tax people, say, look, I'm going to tax you. And then here it is. Don't tell people you're not going to tax them, and then do it and let them sort of find about it in a roundabout sort of way. So we're trying to draw attention to the fact the president has actually increased taxes on folks who make less than $250,000 at least 15 times. And what our bill does is simply say, look, we're going to take all those tax increases and get rid of them so that the president actually keeps his word.
Well, and didn't a lot of this have to do with the health care?
Yeah, most of them were related to the health care. You know, changes on what you can use your health savings accounts for, changes on how much money you can put into them, changes on how much money you pay for medical devices, hearing aids, those types of things. A tax, believe it or not, on tanning beds for some reason. Not really sure how that relates to the health care bill, but there's taxes all over the place, and there was also a dramatic increase in taxes on cigarettes as well, which clearly reaches people under $250,000 a year, in fact, disproportionately so. So, yeah, you didn't have to look long and hard to find tax increases under the Obama administration.
Now, what do you think about where we are with the economy? Of course, the numbers came in, more people, private sector jobs last Friday. What do you think? Are we in recovery? The President Obama's group is saying that we are. We've had 3 months of growth. What do you think, Mick?
Well, I mean, I hope that we are. I encourage people to look at the unemployment numbers with sort of a wary eye. Remember, the unemployment numbers do not measure the number of people without a job. What they really do is look at the number of people without a job compared to the size of the overall workforce. And for the last several months, the unemployment rate was going down, but more people were not going back to work. That was happening because people were dropping out of the job market. We need about 250,000 jobs a month in order to rebuild the economy. We didn't hit that last month. We came close the last 2 months. Look, it's better the last 2 months than it was, you know, 6 or 8 months ago. But to say that the economy is in a recovery, I want it to be. I've got an unemployment level in my district that, you know, is much higher than the national average. I want everybody to go back to work. We have a saying that is, you know, depression is when you lose your job, or recession is when somebody you know loses their job. And I'd be happy when we're all out of recession and depression. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Now, what about the price of gas as it relates to everything? And is there going to be any relief, or what do you think, Mick?
Well, a lot of the things that are driving that we don't have control over. You know, if Iran wants to try and shut down the Straits of Hormuz, that's not the type of thing that Congress especially has control over. And there are things working against lower prices, such as demand from other countries. Now, that being said, there are things that we can do that would help lower prices. Number one would be to increase domestic production. One of the reasons the Keystone Pipeline is such a big debate in Washington, D.C., is not necessarily that it by itself lower gas prices, but that by approving it, it would signal a commitment on the behalf of the nation that we're going to focus on domestic production of oil and gas. And that is one of the things you need long-term to lower the prices. The other thing we can do, and this goes unreported a good bit, is stop borrowing a bunch of money. I mean, a significant part, the studies I've seen, show that as much as 50 cents out of every 50 cents of every gallon of gas is attributable to the printing of money that we've gone through over the course of the last several years just to pay our debts. So the debt is everywhere. It's incipient. You know, people don't realize the debt is what's negatively impacting us as a nation, but it is literally everywhere. And that is true in terms of gasoline as well. So there's some things we can and should do. Other things we don't have much control over, but the things we do control, we need to do a better job on.
What about President Obama saying that with the increase in the price of gas, we need to concentrate on alternative energies?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm all for concentrating on alternative energy. The question is, will it come at the expense of the things that actually we know are work and are cost effective? I mean, you could say there, you know, we want to focus on wind energy. Hey, listen, that's great, you know, if you happen to live in a windy part of the world, which we don't, and if you're willing to pay four times as much for your electricity, which I'm not. There's no reason to be against alternative fuels, and that's not really the debate. The debate is whether or not we were going to do it to the exclusion of the stuff that works and the stuff that is cost-effective, and oil and natural gas are both of those things. As expensive as oil is, it's still a lot cheaper than solar power, and natural gas prices have never been lower, at least not in recent history. So the question is not, are we going to see a continued commitment to alternative energies? The question is, will it come at the expense of our traditional energies, which still offer us the best hope for low-cost and readily available energy?
And I've got one more question for you. The bill that you introduced, I didn't see anything about this. I just was reading over your file. The Subcontracting Transparency and Reliability Act, STAR. That's interesting.
Yeah, and that actually was a really interesting history of that. That grew out of a hearing that we had down in Sumter, South Carolina, part of my district. There was an over $100 million federal contract for a job down at Shaw Air Force Base. And the local businesses got less than 2% of the overall contract value, which is just wrong. In fact, it was like 0.2%. I think it was $200,000 out of $103 million. And that's just wrong. And when we started to dig into it, we started to learn a lot about government contracting and about how small businesses don't receive the amount of the contract that they're required to by law, that there's a great deal of fraud, some waste and abuse in the government contracting business. That small business people don't get paid fast enough by the government on their contracts. So what we did is essentially take all the lessons that we learned out of Sumter and used it to try and fashion a bill to help make sure that small businesses especially can participate fully and fairly in government contracts.
And how's that going?
Pretty good. We had a great hearing on it, small business, the other day. The bill has bipartisan support, which I'm always excited about. The Small Business Committee has been one of the few committees in the past year that has been able to pass its bills through both the House and the Senate. I'm a chairman of one of the subcommittees of small business. We've actually had some success, and it's a good example, at least at a very small scale, of how Washington can work to help make things better for folks back home. So I'm hoping we can continue to build on those successes this year.
Absolutely. And one more question. Congressman Jeff Duncan announced this morning that he is running again, and you?
We were going to wait till the end of this week. I think the filing period opens Thursday or Friday. We'll give it another shot and see how it goes.
See how it goes. Well, Congressman Mick Mulvaney, it is always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much for calling me this morning.
And thanks. Pleasure's mine.
All righty. Bye-bye. God bless.